In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. During the weeks of Great and Holy Lent, there's a book from the Old Testament that's designated to be read in its entirety at the Vesper services. And this book is called the Book of Proverbs, or sometimes it's referred to as the Proverbs of Solomon, because it was King Solomon who wrote it in the 9th century BC. And he wrote it as a spiritual and moral instruction manual for young people. And much like Jesus' own Sermon on the Mount, it offers direction on what living a holy and righteous way of life looks like. He says things like, it's the Lord who gives wisdom, and that from wisdom comes knowledge, and from wisdom comes understanding. But first, wisdom comes from the Lord. And Solomon says that if wisdom enters your heart and your mind, and your soul is filled with moral knowledge, then your choices in life will be good, and you'll be able to discern a path of holiness. Holiness that leads to everlasting life. And he also says that a wise person trusts in the Lord with all their heart and does not depend upon their own wisdom or understanding. He says that if a wise person acknowledges God and seeks God's will for their life, then God will direct them on a good path and keep them firm in their faith. He will give them direction, and he will keep them firmly focused on the path of salvation. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the book of Proverbs is filled with powerful reminders about how to live a godly way of life. It's a great book, really, to refer to throughout the entire year, but especially now, during this time of fasting and preparation for the celebration of Christmas, the Nativity of Christ. Because the truth that this book reveals is the very truth of our own salvation itself. The truth of eternal life, and the truth of the world which is to come. And we heard this truth about our salvation being revealed to us once again in the gospel lesson that we heard this morning. Because in that gospel, we heard about the time when Jesus was traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. And it says that on the way, a rich man approached Jesus, and he asked him, "What is it that I need in order to inherit eternal life?" And it says that Jesus, in response, directed the man back to the Ten Commandments, reminding him of their importance for his life. But the man said that he already faithfully follows all of these Ten Commandments. What he really wanted to know was what else did he need to do in order to inherit eternal life. And so Jesus, in his mercy and compassion and love for this man, plainly laid it out on a silver platter for him and said, "Okay, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you own and give it to the poor, and follow me. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Or in other words, what Jesus was saying to this man was that the law of the commandments, following the law of the commandments alone, will not save you. They're extremely important because they're from God, but alone they cannot save you. Or your effort to follow them cannot save you. Why? Because Scripture says that a person cannot gain salvation simply through any effort of their own. And that's what King Solomon was talking about in the book of Proverbs. We need God because it's God who gives us wisdom. And if we allow that wisdom to penetrate and fill our lives with the desire of God's will, then God will keep us on the path of righteousness, the path that leads to salvation. And then to illustrate this truth, Jesus gives the famous lesson about how it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the disciples who were with him, not understanding what he was talking about, asked Jesus, "So if that's true, then who can be saved?" And Jesus answered them at the end of the gospel by delivering the famous and well-known verse, "With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel lesson this morning is about our salvation. And it's about our surrender and our total sacrifice to God. It's about believing that even when we think there may be no way, like the camel passing through an eye of a needle, with God, there is always a way. That with God, the path of eternal life has truly been provided for us. And that our efforts alone, without total and complete surrender to God's holy will always just be an exercise in futility. It'll be inadequate, or our efforts will be empty and unfulfilling. That's why in the liturgy, when we come to church each and every week, the deacon stands before the icon of Christ before we confess the Lord's Prayer, and we acknowledge and confess, along with the deacon, to completely surrender ourselves to God. The deacon says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above." And he says, "Let us commend ourselves and each other and all of our life unto Christ our God." And the other thing that we hear from the deacon is that it's good and perfect gifts that come from God in heaven, who is the Father of lights. And this is what we say at the end of the liturgy. Because by saying these same prayers each and every single week, we're acknowledging that the gift of salvation comes to us from God alone, by His own free will. And that our efforts alone are not sufficient. That's an important reminder for us as Christians, for us to remember each and every single week. And this is the truth of what we're preparing for during this time of Advent fasting. We're preparing to celebrate the moment in history when God came to deliver us from the limitation of our own efforts. He came to provide for us a pathway towards eternal life by eventually defeating and conquering death by his own death. Why? Because with men, that reality was impossible. But with God, all things are possible, even salvation and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.